This is The Takeaway, and here is a very large question to conclude our hour. In this, I guess, 6th century, maybe 5th, 4th century into what we would call the scientific age, what is the state of truth? Is there more false propositions that have been overtaken by new developments in technology and science than there are true propositions? Or does the truth march on as it always has? Joining us now is Samuel Arbesman, author of The Half-Life of Facts, Why Everything We Know Has an Expiration Date. He's on the line from Kansas City. Samuel, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here. Thanks so much. So
this was a very, very scary, like ambitious idea of taking on the half-life of facts. Everything we know has an expiration date. I mean, in one sense, it's sort of obvious that new developments are going to take over old developments, but it's also an exploration of what is truth, which seems frighteningly ambitious. Are you satisfied with how everything came out?
I'm pretty happy with it. I think the idea is that even though we intuitively know that many facts are changing around us, beneath all this flux, there are certain regularities to how knowledge grows and how knowledge becomes overturned over time. And in fact, so sort of along the way, as we're constantly approaching a better understanding of our surroundings, lots and lots of stuff is being overturned. But happily, there are regularities and there's a systematic process behind how all of this happens.
And there's an interesting sort of dynamic as to how true propositions find other true propositions and scientific references sort of propagate upward into more advanced and sophisticated science. Tell me about this notion of scientometrics. It's the science literally of measuring science, its references, and its interrelationships, because that's a fascinating place to begin.
Yeah, and if you want to understand science, as many scientists at least intuitively know that that maybe there's an order of magnitude more scientific papers than there were a decade ago, or it's harder for younger scientists to get grants. It turns out, even though we can know these things intuitively, or at least anecdotally, there are a lot of regularities behind how scientific knowledge grows. And in the past half century to century or so, people have begun exploring these regularities and really trying to understand how all of knowledge grows and how it propagates outwards through references. So the easiest way to understand this is through the level of the scientific paper. It's a wonderfully self-contained object that we know the authors, so we can actually develop a network of who's collaborating with who. We know the content, so we can actually try to understand the subjects and how those spread from paper to paper. We can also look at the references. So if a paper is more influential, we can actually see that by simply looking at which papers cite which other papers. And so by looking at the level of papers, but then more broadly, people have been doing other things as well, we can actually see how science grows and changes over time. So whether it's the level of the papers, whether it's the level of the authors, we can even look at the properties of discoveries themselves. Since so much scientific knowledge is being digitized now, we actually can look at the properties of discoveries themselves and see if there are regularities, such as are discoveries becoming more difficult over time, things like that.
And this has a name. It's called, at least as far as scientific papers are concerned, the H index, where the index refers to how many references either a paper generates or how many references it has in other papers. Have you ever calculated your own H index, Sam?
Well, yeah. So the H index is for a scientist, not necessarily just for a specific paper. It's the number of papers that have at least that many citations. So, for example, if you have an H index of 5, it means you have 5 papers that have received at least 5 citations. And the person who actually first developed this, I think he found that if your H index is somewhere in the 40s, it actually means you have a good chance of being in the National Academies of Science. My own H index, so I've not actually calculated myself. I believe Google Scholar can do this kind of thing. I think mine, it's not particularly high. I think it's somewhere between 5 and 10. So I'm nowhere near the National Academies or anything like that just yet.
But, well, you're pretty impressive. How do you calculate the literal half-life of facts in a particular field? In some fields, in as little as 45 years, half of what was known a half century ago becomes to be false.
Yeah, so there was actually a great paper. It was about, came out about 10 years ago. So it was a team of physicians in France. They wanted to actually measure this, like the half-life of knowledge and how it becomes overturned over time. And so they looked to their own areas of specialty, in this case, hepatitis and cirrhosis. They're both related to diseases of the liver. And they gave a series of papers from over a span of 50 years to a panel of experts. And they said to this panel, which of these papers are true and which ones have been overturned or otherwise rendered obsolete? And from that, they were able to plot on a simple graph how the facts in these papers decayed over time. And they found a clear decay. And they found that you could just read how long, directly off the graph, how long it takes for half of these papers to become out of date. And they found that it was about 45 years. And since then, other people have done this using this method. Other people have looked at it based on citation. So when papers stop receiving citations is at least a pretty good way of knowing when papers are no longer sort of state of the art. And and you can actually see how different fields have different rates of overturning over time.
Is there a field that seems to be grinding to a halt before we go, in the sense that breakthroughs are becoming more difficult, if not impossible?
Well, one rather contrived field is the field of discovering new internal organs within the human body. We've discovered the heart and the lungs and maybe more subtle organs such as the pituitary gland. Things have been slowing down, and actually the last organ to be discovered was in 1880. It was the parathyroid gland, and after that the field just ended. Other than that, though, I would say I don't think any fields are really ending. Certainly, some discoveries are becoming more difficult, or we might require larger teams or larger infusions of money and capital to actually build bigger accelerators or bigger tools. But by and large, and we're really only being limited by our own cleverness. And so as long as we can ask good questions and find good ways of answering these things, science certainly is marching on.
A hopeful, positive thought from Samuel Arbison, author of the new book, The Half-Life of Facts, Why Everything We Know Has an Expiration Day. Thanks so much.
Thank you.